welcome to the 25th episode of Celluloid Tunes and the 9th International Edition. Celluloid Tunes is the first and only webcast about film music in Norway, and my name is Tor Joachim Haga. So we've arrived at the end of another year, and it's time again to give you our top 10 selection of the film scores from 2014. Now, this year has been like any other year, some good stuff and some rather disappointing stuff. But we continue to be amazed by all the different styles and approaches being used both in mainstream Hollywood films and on the so-called independent or arthouse scene. Personally, I've seen about 120 films from this year alone and listened to several hundred soundtracks from 2014. So I feel we have a sort of large pool to choose from. But as always, it's extremely difficult to narrow it down to just 10. Then again, the challenge is part of the fun in a way. However, at the end of the episode, I will mention a number of runner-ups who could easily have made it to a top 20 or top 30 if we had expanded our selections a bit. So with that in mind, let's delve into the list. And as usual, we start at number 10 and work our way up towards the winner. On 10th place is a film that didn't fare particularly well at the box office, nor among critics. And I'm talking about the Disney film Maleficent, directed by Robert Stromberg, who happens to be the brother of famous film music composer and conductor William Stromberg. The film stars Angelina Jolie as the famous dark fairy queen from Sleeping Beauty, a live-action reimagining of the famous story. Unfortunately, the film didn't quite live up to its potential and often falls back on somewhat clichéd plots and dialogue, with very little earthbound drama that we as an audience can relate to. However, the visual effects are quite spectacular, and as often can happen with underwhelming films, the score lives its own splendid life, unaware of the film's shortcomings. And the score in this case is written by the famous composer James Newton Howard, who we've previously interviewed here on Celluloid Tunes. In fact, that interview was where he first revealed his involvement with this particular film. Now, over the last few years, we haven't often seen the wonderful melodic Howard of the past who combined electronics and orchestra in a romantic fashion. Now, whether that has to do with the composer himself, the projects that he's worked on, or certain film music trends is hard to say. But in this case, he's almost back to old form, with a score that wallows in lush instrumentation, large orchestral forces, memorable themes, and a pronounced sense of magic throughout. So let's open this show with a cue, The Queen of Fairyland from Maleficent, composed by James Newton Howard. Thank you. Moving on to our ninth place, it's a very different style altogether. Over the last few years, we've seen an increased popularity in old school electropop being composed for films, whether written as a pastiche or with a more modern twist, like Daft Punk and Tron Legacy, for example. And this year was no exception. There were actually a number of great 80s-sounding electropop scores being written for both films and computer games. And two of the most notable were the films Test and We Are the Freaks. And since I couldn't really pick just one, I decided to cheat a bit and include both in this spot. Now, Test actually premiered at festivals in 2013, but it got wider distribution in 2014. It's directed by Chris Mason Johnson, and it depicts the effects of the HIV and AIDS crisis in a professional San Francisco dance troupe set in 1985. The music is by Welsh composer Sairi Thorjussen, a 38-year-old operating out of Los Angeles and doing all kinds of different music, having worked as both conductor and orchestrator for a lot of Hollywood blockbusters. Now, We Are the Freaks, on the other hand, is a British film that also premiered locally in 2013, but globally in 2014. Directed by Justin Edgar and music by Vincent Watts. Now, I haven't seen it myself, but according to Wikipedia, it's a, and I quote, surreal and anarchic anti-teen film about three misfits having the night of their lives. Sounds kind of intriguing, I guess. Now, in both of these cases, the composers capture the 80s and early 90s sounds incredibly well, using the technology and the samples that were prevalent at the time. So let's play one cue from each of these. This is the track Big Smile from Test, followed by Manager's Office from We Are the Freaks. Music by Sairi Thorjussen and Vincent Watts, respectively. Thank you. On our eighth place, we're back into slightly more traditional orchestral territory, but for a film that may not be well known to most people. It's called No God, No Master. It's directed by Terry Green, and it's a period film set to 1919, when a series of package bombs show up on the doorsteps of prominent politicians and businessmen. And an agent, played by David Strathairn, tries to find out who is responsible. The music is by Portuguese composer Nuno Malo, who has primarily worked on productions from his home country, but this has the potential to be his big breakthrough for English language films, because it's a score filled with melancholy and elegance, not unlike the famous Godfather music of Nino Rota. So it's more about the tragedy of the terrorist acts and so on than the action and suspense. Slowly moving through the bleak story with beautiful passages for strings and woodwinds in particular. So let's listen to the cue Nullus Deus, Nullus Dominus, also known as the main theme reprise, from No God, No Master, music by Nuno Malo. We are not moving that far away in terms of style for our seventh place, because it's another period piece, this time from the American Civil War in the late 1800s. The film is called Field of Lost Shoes. It's directed by Sean McNamara, and IMDb gives us the following synopsis. A group of teenage cadets sheltered from war at the Virginia Military Institute must confront the horrors of an adult world when they are called upon to defend the Shenandoah Valley. Now, I have no idea about the quality of this film, as I haven't seen it, but the music by Frederick Wiedemann It's a gorgeous throwback to the orchestral stylings of the 80s and early 90s, especially perhaps the long, sweeping melody lines of James Horner, interspersed with the colors from the period, of course. Weidman is especially known for his work on the animated Batman series, but that didn't really strike a chord with me. But this, however, seems to take him to a whole other level, and it's pretty clear from the liner notes that it's a love project for the composer. So here is the main titles from Field of Lost Shoes, composed by Frederick Weidman. On our sixth place is a far more famous film. We're back in blockbuster territory with one of the biggest hits of the year, namely The Amazing Spider-Man 2, directed by Mark Webb. It's a film that did well at the box office, but which divided critics a bit. Personally, I belong to those who really enjoyed it, especially the portrayal of the villain Electro and the fantastic kinetic energy of the action sequences. The composer is, of course, none other than Hans Zimmer, who took over for James Horner from the previous film. Now, Zimmer collaborated with several artists on this film in a group he named the Magnificent Six, and including people such as Johnny Marr, David Stewart from Eurythmics, and Pharrell Williams. And, of course, he adds his usual palette to the franchise, with a reliance on percussion and electronic sounds, but also with a traditional brass-led main theme, as well as some eerie vocal music whispering the inner turmoil of the Electro character. And one of the tracks that display both of these elements well is called Still Crazy, and it's available on the deluxe version of the soundtrack. And this is it. Now we're halfway through our list, and on fifth place is another independent film, or at least relatively independent, called The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. It was directed by Ned Benson and starring Jessica Chastain and James McAvoy. It's actually not just one film, it's a collective title of three films called Him, Her, and Them, exploring the relationship between a couple in New York from three different angles, one in each film. Now, the music for these films were written by Ryan Lott, perhaps better known as the musician Son Lux, who hails from the post-rock and alternative hip-hop scene in New York. And while there are numerous songs being used in these films, there's still plenty of room for Lux's score to breathe. It's mostly sort of lofty, ethereal textures with occasional voices that are not too far removed from the post-rock genre that he knows so well. And a great example is the instrumental/song called After It All, which features vocal performances by 4Fix, which is either a band or a singer, I'm not quite sure, but it's a haunting track that captures the sort of the ebb and flow of the couple's relationship throughout these movies. On fourth place, and just outside the podium, is another crowd pleaser, the animated DreamWorks sequel to How to Train Your Dragon, which, as you might remember, features the exploits of young Hiccup and his dragon Toothless in the Viking village of Burg. Now, this sequel follows pretty much where the last one left off and has been widely praised by critics and audiences alike. Composer John Powell, who should require no introduction to our listeners, returns once again to the fairy tale world after his very successful first score. And I'm delighted to say that the quality of his writing hasn't diminished one bit. Big, rambunctious themes, fast-paced rhythmic action riffs with a hint of Irish folk music, beautiful choral tracks, and simply just an unashamed sense of joie de vivre, as it were. I mean, how is it possible not to like this? While the soundtrack album is full of highlights, let's play the track Flying with Mother, which illustrates both a sort of intimate and sweeping aspect of the story, as well as a pinch of action music towards the end. Coming in at third place in our countdown of 2014's best scores is another electronic score. And while I covered this in my ninth place already with Tests and We Are the Freaks, this one is a tad bit higher in terms of overall quality. And the film in question is called The Guest, directed by Adam Wingard, and it's a so-called home invasion thriller. That is made very much as a pastiche of genre films from the 80s and perhaps early 90s. And it's so drenched in style, both in visuals and set pieces, it's impossible to dislike. And much of it has to do with the music. Wingard employs a long line of superb electropop artists on the soundtrack, like, for example, Annie from Norway, or Gatekeeper, Sisters of Mercy, and Mike Simonetti. And the glorious synth riffs of these songs and instrumentals are then merged with the original score by Steve Moore, perhaps mostly famous as a keyboardist for the band Zombie, but who has done a fair share of film scores, especially low-budget horror films. Now, unfortunately, the score has not yet been released, but we're proud to present at least one brief cue from Steve Moore's music. It's important to point out, however, that the reason this comes in at third place is because of the songs and instrumentals all combined, creating a unique soundscape for the film. So this is a cue, The Chase, which is perhaps slightly influenced by the music of John Carpenter. Moving on to the second best score of the year, and it's back to the big titles with a film and score we already covered in our previous episode. So perhaps you've already guessed that we're talking about Christopher Nolan's epic science fiction film Interstellar, which has been hailed in certain circles as the second coming of movie making. Now, I wouldn't quite go that far, but it's a fantastic piece of cinema, probably my second favorite film of the year, following Luc Besson's Lucy. It's a film that triggers involvement on both an intellectual and emotional level. And a lot of that has to do with Hans Zimmer's score, of course, which took most of us by surprise, because gone were the deep ostinati and the horns of doom, which have become so influential over the last few years. Instead, he relies on these minimalistic, slowly building textures, with a pronounced use of church organ, adding to the wide space of the journey as well as the religious symbolism that runs through it. It's an absolutely fascinating score, both in how it's used in the film and how it sounds, also as a standalone listen. Now, since we already played the cue Detach in the previous episode, I'm going to play the cue Mountains this time. A cue that accompanies Cooper and the other astronauts as they land on a planet covered with water and with waves as tall as skyscrapers looming on the horizon, getting closer and closer. Thank you. So this is it. It's time for the very best score of 2014, according to Celluloid Tunes. And for this entry, we move outside the world of fiction and into the world of documentaries. Now, there have been a lot of good documentary scores this year, but the one that, in my opinion, towers above them all is Danny Elfman's music for the film The Unknown Known, directed by Errol Morris. The film recounts the life of former U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and it's done in a very honest style with lots of talking heads, typical of Morris documentaries. Now, Morris and Elfman previously collaborated on the 2008 film Standard Operating Procedure about the prison camp in Abu Ghraib, which was also one of Elfman's best scores in the 2000s. And while this isn't quite up to that landmark effort, it's still a superb piece of film music, heavily inspired by Philip Glass, of course, Errol Morris' previous collaborator. But the minimalism is done with Elfman's presence, both in sound and in structure. I mean, there's the melancholy, there's the haunting boys choir, there's the use of marimba, a favorite instrument of Elfman's, and lots of interesting things happening with counterpoint, for example. It's another testament to Elfman's maturity as a composer, and an example of why he should do more low-key and intimate films instead of all the big action and superhero extravaganzas. So let's play the tracks Main Titles and Himself from this year's Celluloid Tunes winner, The Unknown Known. Music by Danny Elfman and available to purchase from La La Land Records. With those lovely notes, we've come to an end of our top 10 scores of 2014. But I promised early on in the episode that I would also mention some of the runner-ups, and so I will. Here are some of the other great scores of 2014 that almost made it to the list. A Million Ways to Die in the West by Joel McNeely. Calvary by Patrick Cassidy. Automata by Zacharias Martinez de la Riva. That Awkward Moment by David Thorne. Wish I Was Here by Rob Simonson. The Salt of the Earth by Laurent Petitgard. The Liberator by Gustavo Dudamel. And yes, that's the famous conductor doing his first film score. The Theory of Everything by Johan Johansson. White Bird in a Blizzard by Robin Guthrie and Harold Budd. A Nightingale Falling by Graham Stewart. Maps to the Stars and Rosewater, both by Howard Shore. La Belle et la Bête by Pierre Ardenon. Rosemary's Baby by Antoni Lazarkiewicz. And finally, Under the Skin by Mika Levy. Although that last one has more to do with how it works in the film than an album, perhaps. These are just some of the great scores this year, and I haven't even covered video game scores or television scores, which have also offered some fantastic material. So maybe we'll have to do a show on those later on. Now, I urge everyone to list their own favorites in the comments field, and of course, as usual, feel free to share this episode in your social media. We'll return in early 2015 with an episode focusing on the Norwegian scores of the year. And although that will be in Norwegian, I promise you there's a lot of great stuff there as well. So you're all welcome back in a couple of weeks. Until then, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And last but not least, happy listening.